right, Zoe, how are we doing this morning? Good to see you guys. I'm going to embarrass you here. Okay, so Friday night, had a chance to do a wedding. This is a special wedding. So listen. I do weddings all the time. I'm doing another one tonight. If you want to get married, just let me know. Hey, Joey and Avery, I married them on Friday. But listen, they are the very first Zayo wedding. Let me tell you, they're the very first Zayo couple. They met at Zayo and they got married. So shout out to the new Wegmillers there. I do a lot of weddings. I don't honor everybody, but you're the first Zayo couple. So, and we shall address you as such. Okay. Well... hey, one announcement I have for you today. Let's see. Life Tribes. Yeah, Life Tribes kicks off next week. So we do two groups semesters every single year, one in the spring, one in the fall. They're 12 weeks long, 3 months. We're inviting you to be a part of that. Okay, that's a big part of who we are. It's a big part of how we accomplish our vision that you would find freedom, is that you would jump into a Life Tribe or a community group. So we invite you into that. You can access those groups. We have 23 groups for you to choose from. We have pickleball, we have men's group, we have women's group, we have young people, old people, marriage, kids, all the above, young adults, okay, we got it all right? And so we invite you into groups. You can access those on our website or on our app, or you can tap that circle dot in the seat back pocket in front of you there, and you can find out what groups we have available for the semester. But encourage you, I'm asking you as your pastor, would you please get into a group? We'll officially launch those next week, all right? Okay, so today we conclude a series we've been in for the past 4 weeks called Prayers of the People. Have you enjoyed the series? Has it been helpful for you? This is a series that we wanted to bring to you that's devoted on prayer. So as we jump into the new school year, kind of starting things off fresh, wanted to bring a series to you. We try to do that, bring a series on some sort of spiritual devotion, some sort of practice of the faith that we can bring to you. And so this one has been on prayer, and I hope you've caught this. But if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you got to tap into this tool that God's given you, this secret weapon to pray. And so I hope that your prayer life has increased. I hope you have more ways to pray. I hope you've enjoyed praying through this series. I just hope that you've caught that, because honestly, prayer changes things, doesn't it, church? Prayer changes things, and so I hope you have tapped into that. So the theme verse for the series is Ephesians 6:18. It says this: pray in the Spirit in every situation. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. That prayer is not just something we do before we go to bed or before we eat a meal or something we do on Sunday mornings. Prayer is an all-day, every-day, every-situation kind of thing. Every day, when you're at work, when you're in your car, when you're grocery shopping, pray. This is what the Bible instructs us to do. It's an attitude. It's a thought. Like, I'm going to God, praying everything you do. And so we have this mantra, if you will. It's called pray first. Hopefully you've caught that in the series. Just think about it in your daily life. Before you go about your life, before you go about your meetings, before you go about your emails, your phone calls, your to-do list, pray first. Pray through those things. Before you take your kids to school, pray for your kids. Before you respond to an email, pray for that person and pray if you should send that email. Before you return a phone call, pray about it. Pray first. That's the mantra. Pray first. Use every kind of prayer and request that there is, to which many would say, I didn't know that there were many kinds of requests, and that's what we're doing in the series. We're going through the Bible and identifying different prayers that people prayed in the Bible, and then just taking that style, taking that format, taking that outline and adopting it for us and for our prayer life. And I hope this has been helpful for you. So a little bit of recap here. In week one, we looked at the prayer of Moses, and Moses had 7 pieces of furniture in the tabernacle that he would go through in order to meet with God in the Holy of Holies. It's something that they had to do in the Old Testament. This is before Jesus. But now we don't have to do this, but it's a great model to follow. Some things to think about as you go into prayer. If you need a model to follow, this is a great model. Week one, go back and watch it, the prayer of Moses. In week two, we looked at the prayer of Jabez. If you just need a good, quick prayer to pray, this is a great model to pray. God bless me. This was the prayer of Jabez. God bless me. And now that you've blessed me, give me influence. And now that you've blessed me and you've given me influence, give me your presence. And now that you've blessed me, you've given me influence, and you give me your presence, I pray you protect me, because the enemy has got a target on my back and he's coming after me. So protect me, Lord. So something you can pray in the car. Week 3, we looked at the prayer of David. This is a mentality you should have as you go into prayer. This is from Psalms 23. David prays through the names of God, the eight covenantal names of God. It's just a great mentality to have as you go into prayer. And then last week in week four, we looked at the prayer of James. This is a mini sermon on prayer. James gave us so much great practical advice in the book of James, and he ends the whole book with a little sermon on prayer. And really, here was the idea behind that message, and here was the idea behind the prayer of James, is when you pray, do you actually have the faith that God will answer your prayers? Like, it's like a faith thing. It's a belief thing. God, I'm praying to you, not just to check a box or just to lift things up, because I know I'm supposed to lift them up and not have any clue what happens when I lift up a prayer. But when I pray, I'm going to believe and have faith that, God, you're going to answer my prayers. Like, I'm going to believe it. And today we conclude this series by looking at, I would argue, the greatest prayer ever prayed. Today we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. It's the most well-known prayer in history. It's a prayer that's repeated word for word in many churches. Even this morning, it's a prayer that's memorized and recited by families across the world. However, this is not a prayer that's supposed to be recited. It's not a prayer that's supposed to be repeat after me. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed as an outline. It's a prayer that he wanted to give us to show us how to pray, a guide on how to pray. So today, I want to look at this famous prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer. If you're taking message notes, that's the title of today's message. We're going to look at the prayer of Jesus. Let's pray. We'll jump into it. God, we love you. Thank you for your word today. Would you speak to us about the Lord's Prayer, how we can adopt this and use it as a guide on how to pray and to connect with you. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, come on, Zayo. Amen. How many of y'all grew up in a praying family, a family that prayed? If your parents are next to you, just raise your hand and lie, okay? Just throw it up there. Like, wow, he's taught me so much, so much. I grew up in a praying family, and I'm very thankful I did. My parents watch every single week, and so my parents taught me how to pray. I grew up going to church, and my parents taught me how to pray, and my dad would lay with me every night, and we would pray a certain prayer together every single night. Every single night, and it's in my brain, it's in my memory. I could probably even recite to you that same prayer today. Did you have a prayer that you prayed with your parents? Did your parents pray with you before you went to bed? Listen, there might be some prayers that you might have recited. There might be something that you memorized that might have been, maybe they just prayed a fresh prayer every night. There's something special about parents praying for your kids before they go to bed. But let me just encourage you today, and let me give you a little bit of a warning, okay? There are a lot of prayers to pray for your kids before they go to bed, but there's also a lot of prayers you should not pray for your kids before they go to bed. How many of y'all grew up praying this messed up prayer right here? Now I lay me down to sleep. What morbid person came up with that? It's not a biblical prayer, y'all. I'm telling you right now. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, it's like Halloween right here. It's like, okay, take my soul. We're going to pray for my soul to keep. It gets worse. And if I should die before I wake. You praying this over your kids? Night, night, little one. You're probably going to die tonight. I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I die, take my soul. What does that even mean? What are we praying here over our kids? Like, you're probably going to die tonight, and I hope you go to heaven. If you do, I'll see you there, you know, maybe. Good night. You know, it's like, what are we praying over our kids here? At least my parents didn't pray that one over me. I would have nightmares. Some of you are like, don't pray that one anymore. I have this core childhood memory. You know how you have these core childhood memories? I have one that I vividly remember. I remember exactly where I was at in my house. I was 5 years old, and I remember my dad sitting me down on the couch and teaching me the Lord's Prayer. Now, we grew up in the Episcopal Church. It's something we said every single week. How many of y'all grew up in a church like that, where you said the Lord's Prayer by memory, recited it word for word every single week? Yeah, a lot of you guys. So my dad wanted me to be a good little Christian boy, and he's like, you're 5 years old, it's time, you know, we got to learn this prayer, right? So he taught me the prayer, and I'm thankful that my dad taught me that prayer. I'm thankful that my parents taught me how to pray. But I've since taken the Lord's Prayer, and I've learned how to not only recite it, but have it as a guide, learn how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. I hope this series has taught you how to pray. More importantly, I hope that you have a desire to pray more than you used to, and I also hope that you enjoy praying, like it's something you look forward to doing. So today I want to take the Lord's Prayer and show you not just how to recite it, but how to use it as a guide on how to pray. And by the way, our devotions are available for you in the courtyard. We have these devotional books that we offer for you. It's a way that we read the Bible together every single day. We encourage you to read the Bible every day. And through our devotional Bibles here, it has a little bit of scripture reading and some journaling attached, but it also has the Lord's Prayer, and I teach you in that how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. I'll do that today, but I want you, this is how I pray every single day. I pray through the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to show you how we do that today. So this is the prayer of Jesus, Luke 11. We're going to read it first in Luke 11, starting verse 1. This is kind of the setup. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, so Jesus was praying, and the disciples kind of perked up. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, okay, so when you pray, say this. Here's what's funny. The disciples already knew how to pray. They were raised to pray. They were taught how to pray. They knew how to pray. But you see, they were listening to Jesus pray, and they were not asking Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? They were asking Jesus, teach us to pray like that. Because that's different. That's special. The disciples grew up in the faith. They had parents reciting prayers. They knew how to pray. But now they see Jesus, the Son of God, praying, and they realize that something is different about the prayers of Jesus. Maybe you've been around someone like that. You're like, they pray differently than I do. Like, there is something, like there's a gift to pray. I hear that all the time as a pastor. We ask people to pray. They're like, oh, I'm not any good at it. This isn't baseball. You're not like good or bad. Like, oh yeah, you really sucked at that one. You should probably never pray again. You know, like that's not how it works. But I understand sometimes it can be a little bit intimidating. You hear Miss Janice or Pastor Dustin pray, you're like, oh my goodness. I shall take the silent one, you know, like I'll pass on this one unspoken, you know, like there was a really good prayer. I'm just never not gonna hear it, unspoken. Maybe you've heard someone pray. You go, man, that is different. Like, they know how to pray. This is how the disciples, they knew how to pray, but then they heard Jesus pray. They said, teach us how to pray like that. So he responds with what's called the Lord's Prayer, which, I got to be honest, today in the church, we have done a great job of really messing this prayer up. We have taken the passion out of it. We've taken the point out of it, and we've just recited word for word what Jesus prayed, when that's not at all what he was after. This is repeated in so many churches this morning, churches all over the world. And probably for most, they have no idea what they're praying. They're praying some old King James language and have no idea what they're saying, just memorized words. The Lord's Prayer is not to be recited or memorized or repeated. It's supposed to be a model. It's supposed to be a guide. In fact, Jesus actually told them, he said this, if you want to pray, pray in this manner. He didn't say, repeat after me. He said, if you want to pray, pray this way. Watch this. Pray this way. So by the way, this verse is found not only in Luke 11, this Lord's Prayer, the prayer of Jesus. It's also found in Matthew 6. I want to read Matthew 6, and we're going to see this as a guide, as an outline on how Jesus was teaching us how to pray. Here it is right here, starting in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, and all the Catholics and Episcopals and Lutherans want to repeat it with me. You can do it if you want to. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. You know, like, you know. How many of y'all grew up in a church like that? Stand, sit, kneel, stand, sit. Yeah, that was me. I grew up in that, right? Jesus gives us such a great gift in the Lord's Prayer. Seven subjects in this prayer, and I want to take time to go through those seven subjects. If you struggle with prayer, just take 10 minutes tomorrow and pray through the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to show you how to do that right now. Here we go. There are seven subjects in the Lord's Prayer. Here's the first thing that Jesus shows us. It's all about relationship. Our Father in heaven. Who? Our Father. Where is he? In heaven. Our Father in heaven. The first thing that we need to think about when we go to God in prayer is to connect with God relationally, not formally. This is a relational thing. We're going to spend some time solidifying and acknowledging our relationship with God. Before I present my laundry list of needs, I'm just going to go to God, be myself, and I'm going to have a one-on-one, just relational connection with God. Can I give you some encouragement? Be you. When you go to prayer, be normal, okay? You don't talk like the King James. Why pray like the King James? Oh, Goddeth, we praiseth thee. You know, you don't put on everything, okay? So you don't need to do that when you go to God in prayer. Our God is a heavenly Father. And in fact, the greatest thing that he loves to be called is Father. By the way, the Bible tells us that. He has so many different names, but he loves to be called Dad, Father. God desires to be this personal relationship with you, not some distant divinity that you never know. He's a personal God. I mean, how do you relate to your parents? When I talk to my dad on the phone, I don't formally address him. Mr. Robert Lyons, this is Jared Lyons. I'd like to have a few minutes of your time so we can discuss a few matters. Right? I say, hey, Dad, what's up? I don't even care how I sound. I don't care how I come across. I don't care if I'm offensive. I don't need to introduce myself. He's my dad. He knows me by name. He knows my voice, and he doesn't care. He's going to accept me for who I am. Be you. So the first thing you do when you go to God in prayer is connect with him relationally. God, Dad, Father, I love you. I miss you. You are my God. You are my Father. I'm excited to be with you today. I'm excited to spend some moments with you today. Connect with me, God. I'm here. I love you. Just relational. In order for you to do that, you got to know who God is to you and who you are to him. Watch this. Romans 8, 15. I think this is what a lot of people mix up. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. If you are serving God today as a slave and he is your master, you have the wrong picture of God. I want you to write this down. Your view of God will determine your relationship with God. How you view God and your mentality towards him will affect your relationship with him. You are not some reluctant slave. And he is your mean master. You are a child. You are a son. You are a daughter. He is your father. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Think about that. God has adopted you as a child. Now you can call him daddy. Abba, Father. It annoys the living daylights out of me when my kids just want to ask for things before they actually connect with me. Anybody else? Got kids? Is it like that, right? It's like, you're not even awake yet, and they bust through the door, and, Daddy, where's my iPad? You know? Can I go spend the night at someone's house? Daddy, any money? Like, it's like, well, good morning to you too, honey, you know? I feel used. I feel unwanted. I feel like I am just a checkbook, right? Like, just knock on the door and get whatever you want. That's all that matters, right? But we do this with God. God, where are you? God, help me. I need something from you. God, I'm begging you for this. God, if you do this for me, I'll do anything for you. And he's like, well, Jennifer, haven't heard from you in a few years. You know, it's like, I hate it when my kids do it. I can only imagine how God feels. But when my kids come into my room and they get in bed with me, they lay with me, I'll give them anything they want. You probably do that with your grown kids too, you know, like just come up and love on you. What do you want? What do you want? You want some money? You want some presents for the grandkids? What do you want, you know? Judah especially will do this. He'll just get in bed and cuddle with me and I'm like, bro, what do you want? You want to go to Rangers game? You want me to buy you a new bat? That costs $800, you know, what do you want, you know? Seriously, kids' gear is out of control, by the way, okay? It's a little vent point. I'll do whatever you want. You just come in and snuggle with me. You don't have to ask for anything. I'll do anything for you. God's the same way. Just connect with him relationally. You don't have to say anything. He's already ready to provide for you, to give for you. But I love it because when my kids do that, their motivation is not because they need something. They just want to be with me. God's the same way. So first, we connect with God relationally. And then here's the second thing God says, the second subject in prayer we see, it's worship. Hallowed be your name. Now that we've connected with God relationally, now we get to worship God for who he is. At this point, I just like to go into worship. Maybe I'll put some worship music on. Just worship God, or just worship God in prayer. I actually like to call out the names of God. I declare who he is. I'm reminding myself of who he is. We believe a lot of lies, and the only way to overcome those lies is to replace those lies with the truth. So I'm declaring the truth of God's word of who he is. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him, and they're safe. You know, in 2 weeks ago, we took the time of Psalm 23 and prayed through these eight covenantal names of God, the Jehovahs. I'm just going to break them down to you real quick and show you kind of how I do it. Let's kind of go to God in prayer. I'm worshiping God, right? I'm worshiping. Hallowed be your name. You are my righteousness. Because of sin, I am not right with God, but through Jesus, I am made right. You are my righteousness. You make me in right standing with God. You are my healer. Lord, I just declare that my body is healed. I'm praying for someone that they would be healed. I worship you that you heal, that's what you do. You heal today. You are my shepherd. You are my pastor. The voice of another I will not follow. I follow you. I follow your direction. This is the truth, the absolute truth. You are my shepherd. You are my provider. The government's not my provider. My job is not my provider. I am not my own provider. You are my provider. All good things come from you. You are my sanctifier. You save me. You put Jesus on the cross so that I wouldn't have to go to hell. You are my sanctifier. I praise you for that. I worship you for that. You are my banner of victory. I love this one. But you defeat my enemies. You fight on my behalf. You love to take aid for me. You are my banner of victory. You are my peace. Where I am lacking peace, I worship you today because I know that you'll fill me with peace. I'm stressed out, I'm annoyed, I'm bothered, I'm lacking peace, and I know you'll speak peace in me today. You are there. That's one of his names. He's not over there, he's not up there, he's there. He's here right now. God, you are among us, you are here, and I worship you. You know, think about my kids, again, I love when my kids call me dad, but I love it especially when they tell me how awesome of a dad I am. I'm insecure, okay? Relax. God is not insecure, but it's a great chance just to declare how great of a God he is. I think about it. I took Selah to an Austin FC game last night, and the whole way home, she was telling me how awesome I am. You better believe we're going to another Austin FC game, and I'm going to spend another $300 on jerseys, okay? Like, it don't matter. It don't matter. It just does something to me. Think about what that does for God. God, you are awesome. I worship you. Here's the third thing. Before I get into my stuff and my needs, I'm going to lift up God's agenda. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice one word there that's repeated twice. Come on, say it with me. Your. Before you pray your agenda, pray your agenda. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom come. Not my plan on this earth. Your kingdom come. Your plan established here in Lake Travis as it is in heaven. Come on. Your kingdom come. And this is a big obstacle for so many of us. It's a big problem for us today because we can't help but focus on ourselves and our problems and our needs. For many of us, that is our prayer life, is ourselves, our problems, and our needs. But in a relationship that matters to you most, you don't even think about your own problems, your needs. You actually ask the other person how they're doing. In a relationship that matters most to you, focus on their needs. Hey, I haven't seen you. How are you doing? Yeah, I got stuff, but I want to know, how did that end up? Hey, whatever happened with that, tell me about that. If I care about that, I'm asking questions. I'm going, hey, tell me about you first. Like, I'll get there. Tell me about you. That's a relationship that matters when you actually ask how they're doing. Or you could say, no, shut up. I want to tell you all about myself. Oh, man, you should have seen the kids last weekend. You know, it's like, no, I don't want to hear about you. I want to keep talking about myself. Like, that's how we are in prayer. We want to pray God's agenda. That's why when we go to God in prayer, we got to say, God, I want to know what's on your heart. Like, what do you want to accomplish in this earth? Before I get to what I need and what I want to know what you want. Think about it this way. God has prayer requests. He's got a list of things that he is thinking about and praying for. Just think about it that way. In prayer, you want to know what prayer is? If I can say one statement. Prayer is lifting up and agreeing with God's will for your life. Whatever God wants to do, and we go to God and pray, that's the whole point of prayer. We are agreeing with God's will and his purpose for our life and what he wants to do here. That's what prayer is. So what is God's will? What is God's purpose? What is on God's heart? What is God praying about? What is his agenda? It could be summed up in one word. It's right here: people. If you want to agree with God in prayer and you want to pray what God is thinking about, pray for people. Pray for people that you know and people that you don't know. Pray for the people around the world in need today. Pray for the people who are far from God and lost today. Pray for people who are in power and authority. Pray for your neighbors, your family. When you pray for people, you're lifting up God's agenda. Just take some time and start thinking about people. Pray for the president. Pray for the mayor. Pray for your neighbor who's lost. Pray for your family member who is just a difficult person. Pray for your pastor. I need your prayer, okay? Pray for people. When you pray for people, you're praying God's agenda. Think about it from God's perspective. He knows you have a lot of things to pray for. He knows you have a prayer list. He knows there's things that you need in your life. But when you come to God and go, God, I'm just going to put those aside for a second. Yes, I got some things I want to come to you. But first, I connect with you relationally. I worship you. And I just want to know, what do you want in this earth? I want to do what you want to do. I want your will to be done here. I'm praying for your agenda. I want to pray for people who are lost. I'm going to pray for people who need to be healed. I pray for people who are difficult and who need to come to church or need a touch from God. I'm just going to lift up people. Think about it from God's perspective. He's like, whoa. This isn't all about you. This isn't all about your prayer needs. Matthew 6:33 says that, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I love the word of God. I'm not a video gamer, but this is a cheat code right here. You have some needs? Seek first the kingdom of God. You want your prayers to be answered? Seek first the kingdom of God. You have a prayer request? Seek first the kingdom of God. Because if you do that, everything else will be added unto you. Like, again, when Judah comes in bed with me, I'm like, bro, what do you want? Like, let's go buy something right now, you know? He didn't need to ask for it. I'm going to give him whatever he wants. Because he just wants to connect and be relational. He's going to connect with me personally. God, what do you want in this earth? I'm going to pray for that and everything else. It's going to be added unto you. Another verse here, Luke 12:31. He will always, I love this, give you all that you need from day to day. He will. You got to believe that. This is the truth of God's word. He will always give you all that you need. God does not withhold. He's not an evil God. You might have had a father who did that. That's not our father. He will always give you all that you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. But for us, our problems are our primary concern, and the issues we face and our circumstances are our primary concern, and money is our primary concern, and our lack is our primary concern, and our family is our primary concern, and our marriage is our primary concern. We do not share the same primary concern as God. Yeah. What is God's primary concern? People. Yeah. And people being saved, the kingdom of God coming down to earth. That's the primary concern. So we pray God's agenda. I'm going to put mine aside. I'm going to lift up your agenda. And once you do that, God's like, okay, now I want to hear what you got. Get to lift up our needs to him. Give us today our daily bread. So this is when I do transition and begin to pray for my needs. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to pray for my needs even if I don't have any needs. I'm going to explain that. And the reason why I pray for my needs even if I don't have any needs is because a big mistake we make with God is we only go to him when we are in need. So why don't we change that? Why don't we go to him every day, profess our needs to him, even if we don't have any needs? I'd encourage you to pray what you need, even if you don't need it. But if you do have some needs, some specifics, God wants to hear those things. If it's on your heart, confess it to him. Talk to him. And it's okay to be selfish in this moment. It's okay to be self-centered. You're not going to turn God off, okay? He can take it. He's a big boy. He wants to know what's on your heart. Pray your needs. But even if you don't have any needs, pray them still. Why? Because it communicates that everything comes from Him. When I pray for things that I already have, I'm declaring my dependence upon Him. God, I need finances, but You've provided for me. I'm declaring that I'm dependent upon You. I need health, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm just declaring that I'm dependent upon You. I'm lifting up my needs, even if I don't have them, because I'm saying, God, everything comes from You, and I'm completely dependent upon You. This is why we have that pray first mantra, because if our mentality is to just pray first, whether it's a situation you're facing, a sickness you're facing, anything you might be facing, if our first response is prayer, we are saying, God, I may be able to handle this one, but I'm going to lift this up to You anyways. Listen, I know You're smart. We have so many businesses in the room, so many great entrepreneurs, so many great people in the workplace. I'm sure You could figure it out. I'm sure You have the finances to figure it out. I'm sure You have the ability to figure it out. But what would it mean if You just said, God, I'm facing this today. I could probably figure this one out, but I'm lifting it up to You anyways. I need You to help me. I need You. Lord, I'm facing this financial situation, and You're right. I could probably figure it out. I got a few things coming, but I'm just saying, God, that my help does not come from man. It comes from You. I'm just asking, would You help me with this? It changes your prayer life. Don't just figure it out. Pray first. Allow God to step in. Psalm 121, 1 through 2 says this, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Which to some, they think it's a reference to heaven. It's not. This was actually in reference to the seat of government in Israel. It was up on a mountaintop. And what he's praying is, does my help come from the government? Does my help come from man? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. You are my help. Yes, I need help, but I'm asking You for help. You are my help. You are where my help comes from. I don't look to man. I look to You. So take some time to declare your dependency on Him. Lift up your needs, even if you don't have them. Then we transition. Here's the fifth one. The fifth subject in the Lord's Prayer is forgiveness. This is a fun one. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So we take some time just to get our hearts right with God and with other people. So I first take some time to identify sin in my life. I bring it before God and I ask for forgiveness of it. And even when I was writing this, I kind of struggled with it, because the true theology behind this is God has already forgiven you. Why would you need to ask for it? So I kind of wrestled with this, but I thought about it for me and myself personally. Do you have forgiveness of your sins? You already have it. Jesus already died for it on the cross. But when I go to God and say, God, would You forgive me of this? I'm actually putting myself in this place to say, God, I repent of this. I recognize it as sin, and I'm turning from it. So God, I know You've given me forgiveness, but I'm still going to ask for it. I'm still going to ask for Your help in this situation. I'm going to ask for Your forgiveness. I love the scripture that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Does God know your heart? Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's an offensive way in me. Is there an offensive way in you? Just take some time and ask God to just search you. Would You bring sin up? May I repent of it? Take this is what the Holy Spirit does. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will make you aware of sin and convict you of it. That way you can bring it before God, you can repent of it, and you can move on. I think it's important we repent of our sin. It's important we bring our sin before God. A couple things on this. First, don't go into detail. God was there when you committed the sin. There's no reason to replay it, okay? God, I was at the bar, and man, Jack Daniels was coming at me really hard, and then this girl walked in, and boy, you remember that girl, don't you? You know, like, you don't need to go through it with God, okay? He was there, right there with you. You can just say, God, forgive me. My heart was not pure in that moment. Man, I messed up. You're just taking sin, you're identifying it, and you're repenting. What is repentance? If you are unrepentant, it means that you are embraced in sin. So if this iPad is sin right here, I'm embraced in sin. But what does that mean? It means the cross is behind me. So when I repent of sin, I'm turning from my sin. And whenever you turn from your sin, you embrace the cross. You embrace Jesus. If you're engaged in sin, Jesus is not in you. He's behind you. But I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I'm going to turn from it. I'm going to repent. I'm going to embrace you, the forgiveness you've given me. So we got to get right with God. Some of you, I got to tell you, you got to get right with God. Repent of your sin. He knows. He knows. You and him both know what you did, what you said, how you reacted. By you not confessing it does not mean it goes away, you know? That's not how it works. So first, we got to get right with God, and then we get right with others. So I go through a list of people who have hurt me, offended me, or just said something stupid in passing, all right? I just go through the list. And by the way, when I first started this, it was a long list. And now, it's not that, I have to think about it. Like, did somebody say something to me, you know? And I just kind of search and think about it. But here's what I'm doing. I'm releasing those people. I'm releasing those people. When you ask for forgiveness from God, but then you turn and go, I'm gonna forgive this person for what they have done, you're not letting them off the hook. You're letting them off of your hook, and you're putting them on to God's hook. It's much better that way. Listen, unforgiveness is not a good look on you. It's affecting you. Unforgiveness is harmful to your health. There are people that we know that are physically sick because they refuse to forgive people. Some of you have been carrying unforgiveness for years. Maybe bitterness, unforgiveness of your parents 20, 30 years ago. Maybe something a neighbor or a coworker did 10 years ago. Maybe something your spouse did 5 years ago. Unforgiveness will hurt you. So we got to pray. We got to release them. We got to release them. I even pray and release people before they offend me. Like, I prayed for y'all this morning, just in case if somebody wants to say something to me after service. I don't want to hold on to that. I don't want to look at you any differently. And I promise you, if you start doing this, if you start saying, God, I forgive this person, I know what they did was not cool, but Lord, I'm letting you deal with it. If you start doing that, people will notice something different about you. You don't hold on to bitterness. You're not jaded by people. You don't carry around offense. And you establish, God is my vindicator. God, you are my protector. You are my banner of victory. And trust me, God is better at vengeance than you will ever be, okay? So if you really want to get back at that person, let God do it, all right? Let God have it. Amen. I just wonder, are there people in your life who you have yet to forgive? Pastor Jess, my pastor, my mentor, says if you have an enemy, you're not right with God. You got to forgive them. You got to release it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we take time and we get right with God. Forgive me, Lord. And we get right with people. Lord, I forgive this person. Here's the next one. Here's the sixth subject that Jesus gives us right here. It's protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This really is not a good translation right here because God can't lead us into temptation. The Bible actually tells us that God does not do that. The actual Greek translation says, do not allow me to be led into temptation. He's not saying, God, don't lead me into temptation. He's saying, do not allow me to be led into temptation. Help me to not be led into temptation today. God, I'm going to have an opportunity to sin today. Help me to make the right decision. I know my bent. I have a tendency to become angry. I have a tendency to gossip. I have a tendency to become jealous. I have a tendency to lust. Forgive me, Lord. But God, keep me far from that. Help me make the right decision today. And God, you're just declaring this. The evil one, the devil, is coming after me today. I got a target on my back because I want to live for you. Protect me from him. Protect me from him. I have known Christians who didn't want to serve in the church because they didn't want to be attacked by the enemy. That's a cop-out. You serve anyways and you pray, God, protect me. That's how you're supposed to do it. When you do that, the enemy's winning. He's like, I don't care. You're still sitting on the sideline. I got you right where I want you. You may not you may not like to hear this, and you may not believe it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. You have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Are you aware that you have an adversary, the devil, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life? What are you doing about it? You got to hear me. Slow this thing down here. You got to hear me. If you are not fighting against the devil every single day, then he's fighting harder than you are. And he's winning. Just because you don't want to acknowledge the fact that there is a devil does not change the fact that there is a devil. So I pray for protection. But not only do I pray for protection, God, the enemy wants to come after me today. Would you protect me? I then engage in some spiritual warfare, which I don't know how you're raised. I was not raised this way. But there is a physical and a spiritual realm to this reality that we live in. We live and see in the natural and the physical, but there is a spiritual, supernatural realm going on right now where the enemy is at work. You ignoring it or choosing not to believe it doesn't mean it's not true and it doesn't exist. It does. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces." It's the supernatural of evil in the heavenly realms. If this is true, if there really is a spiritual realm, and the enemy dwells inside of the spiritual realm, wanting to steal, kill, and destroy your life, if this exists, then every day I need to take a stand against the enemy. Every day I need to fight against the plans he has to destroy my life. Some of you are not fighting hard enough, and the enemy is having his way with your family, with your health, with your finances, with your emotional, mental state. You're just letting him have a heyday because you just don't want to believe it. You ignore it. Doesn't change the fact that he's fighting harder than you are, and he's winning. Here's the final one. I'll wrap it up with this. We relationally connect with God. We worship him. We pray his agenda. Then we bring our agenda, our needs. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for protection. And then finally, we end with praise right where we started. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, this closing part here is not found in every translation. But it's found in a few. It's a great bookend to the Lord's Prayer. I like it because we begin with worship and we end with praise. So we worshiped him for who he was in the beginning. Now we praise him for what he's done. And by the way, you have a lot to praise God for. And I think we're guilty. I know I am. As a person, I'm guilty with this with my own team. Like, we throw an event and I'm just like, hey, great event, y'all. What's the next one? Let's start planning, you know? And the team's really good about going, well, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate what happened. Hey, we had a salvation. Hey, we had this person got free. Hey, let's celebrate this team member. I'm guilty about this even with my own team, but I'm also guilty about it with God because I do come to God with a lot of prayer requests and a lot of needs. And because God's faithful, he actually answers them, and then I'm on to the next need and the next prayer request. Can we just take some time and praise God for what he's done? Are you grateful today for what God's done in your life? So two great scriptures to end with right here, Jeremiah 32:17. You can say this, you could pray this when you praise him. Oh, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. You've made everything with your outstretched arm. I'm declaring right now, God, that nothing is too hard for you. What a great way to end your prayer. God, I brought these challenges before you. I'm facing some major things right now, but I'm declaring that nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you, God. Your outstretched arm, you are faithful, you are powerful. Nothing is too hard for you. Here's another great one to finish on, Revelation 5:13. To him who sits on the throne, the one who reigns and rules over all of us, and to the Lamb, to Jesus, be praise, honor, and glory, and power forever and ever. I just praise you, God, for who you are and what you've done. All praise, worship, and honor is bestowed to you and you alone. And that's the prayer of Jesus. It's a prayer I pray every day. I hope you learned something in this series. I hope you learned new ways to pray. But most importantly, I hope you just want to pray. Something you're like, man, I kind of want to go home and try that praise thing. That was pretty cool, you know, like I felt something. I just hope you enjoy praying. I hope you want to pray. Hope you learn new ways to pray. God is a loving Father who wants to connect with you. We do so in prayer. I want to pray for you right where you're at. I just want you to think about those seven things. Take a minute right now. See what the Holy Spirit will say to you. Take those seven things. See what He's going to say to you. And just right now, I want you to pray one of those. See if He'll speak to you, but pray one of those. See what He says. I love this model, but I just have felt this service and last just a chance to praise God. God, we praise You right there, right where You're at. God, we praise You. We thank You for what You've done, God. We declare that You are God of our lives, of our families. God, we thank You for all that You've done, all that You've provided, all those times You came through, all those Hail Mary prayers we threw up, You actually answered them. You came through. You healed. You provided. We just declare that You are holy, You are righteous. We worship the name of God today. There's no other name that we bow to, no other name but the name of God, the name of Jesus. We declare that You are holy, You are righteous. We praise You today. We thank You, Father. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Father. Thank You, Father. I want to pray for those who have never made a decision for Jesus. He is our righteousness. You were not righteous, but because of Jesus, God sent Jesus to make you righteous. Now, because of Jesus and through Jesus, you are in right standing with God. But without Jesus, you are unrighteous. If you've never made a decision to receive the Son of Jesus, I want to lead you in that today, right where you're at. Pray this prayer to God. Say, God, today I thank You for Your Son Jesus, for sending Him on the cross to die for me so that I can be in right standing with You. Lord, save me. Change me from the inside out. Today I give You my heart. Today I give You my life. I surrender to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate those who prayed that prayer? Amen.